This is Doug Miller.
Jesus Christ is indeed very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller, and the program is Dialogue. And it is our privilege, believe me, to be back with you one more time this side of eternity with this Word in hand. It's an awesome privilege and it's an awesome responsibility, and we cannot function without the prayers of the saints. So please pray for Dialogue. We are, of course, brought to you every week this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this Word go out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. Now, as I have already said, and so I say again, please pray for Dialogue and tell others about us. You're the only advertisers we have or are gonna have. It is our purpose to put this Word out, to put it out as clearly as we can. It is our belief that this Word is the truth and is to be taken literally wherever that is possible. Sometimes symbols are used, as in the book of Zechariah, which is where we are right now. But for the most part, this book is to be taken literally, and you can put it in the bank. I've said many times, if this Word isn't true, we have got nothing. But you bring your Bibles. Come along, open up to the 11th chapter of Zechariah. We left off last time at verse 13. I want to go back and sort of review verses 11 through 13 again. I think you'll find it profitable. Call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, we would always love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. If you say, well, why write? Well, why not? We would love to hear from you. Love to answer any questions you have, provide you with any materials that we have that and if you need them, you can get them free of charge if we've got them. A lot of things we don't have. If you're wanting a solid gold Cadillac, write someone else. I haven't got one. Okay. If you want to email, we can accommodate you on that too. Our email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. We have a web page, and the broadcasts, many of them anyway, are on there. You can pull them down and listen to them to your heart's content. Our web page, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. Okay? Dialogueministries.org. And finally, if you wish to call and talk to me, I would be happy to talk to you. I will return your call. You'll get a recording of me, and you'll have to leave a message, but I will get back with you. The telephone number, area code 405-535-9089. Okay? 405-535-9089. And with the preliminaries over, let's look back into this Word and see what the Lord has for us in this very interesting, and I am persuaded, profitable portion of the Word of the living God. When we were in here last time, I read I said unto them, take note in verse 12 of chapter 11, If ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized out of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Now, the reason I wanted to go back and look at this, you will notice I said at the beginning of the broadcast, Jesus Christ is very God, a very God. There are many people who don't understand that. I think probably this is one of the great stumbling blocks for the Jews and for the nation of Israel. The idea that this man who walked the earth, who humbled himself, who took the low place, could actually be God. Many of them, if they know anything at all, know that this is the Christian position, although it is a position that has been attacked by so-called Christians over the years. Think back to the Arian heresy. Back in the early part of the Christian era, way back there, and you had a man, a bishop of Alexandria named Arius, who was teaching that Jesus was in fact not God. That was condemned as heresy at the Council of Nicaea way back in the 4th century. And yet, there were many people who believed it. And for many years, over the years, that thing has risen its head again like the snake that it is. You cut off the head and it springs back again. And yet the position, the orthodox position of the Christians and of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is that this man who was born in Bethlehem was in fact Almighty God, who came from eternity, who came into this life, and who was made a man and dwelt among us. Now this is interesting because there are a lot of people out there who believe in reincarnation. Plato believed it, and he's not the only one, that somehow between incarnations, which is just a fancy word which means being made flesh, but in between these incarnations, we are, you know, disembodied spirits floating around out there. There is only one man, only one who ever walked this earth, who actually was alive and in eternity and deliberately left that high, lofty, holy place and became a man. And it is our Lord Jesus Christ. This is affirmed many places in Scripture. I can tell you right now that it's in Philippians chapter 2, where we have our Lord Jesus Christ being made man and dwelling among us and coming down. We have in the 8th chapter of 2 Corinthians, our Lord Jesus Christ, who was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. So the New Testament affirms very clearly that this is what and who he was. Now let's talk a little bit about the Jews. I love the Jews. Anyone who knows me knows that. And if you've been listening to these broadcasts for any time at all, you know that I am a supporter of the Jews and of Israel. But hey, just because I love them and support them doesn't mean that I can't tell the truth about them. In fact, because I love them, I must tell the truth about them. Many of them just simply will not accept the fact that this man, this humble carpenter, dressed in homespun clothes, who thirsted, who hungered, who was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. They cannot accept the fact that he was God, and this is a great stumbling block for them. This is what Paul said in his letter to the Corinthians, wasn't it? That the idea that Christ of Christ crucified is a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Greeks. Now think of it, to the Jews who were expecting Messiah to come, and many of them still are, and to be a great warrior prince, and to deliver them, and to kick out the Gentiles, and to rule and reign on the throne of his father David. Yes, all of that is true, but they do not accept him as God. The strange thing is that their own scriptures make it very clear that that's who he is. Very clear. And here in the 11th chapter of Zechariah is one of the places where it is made clear. We know, because of what Matthew told us, Matthew in writing of this, and he gets to it in the 26th and 27th chapters of Matthew, he says that these two verses, 12 and 13 of Zechariah 11, were fulfilled when Judas sold our Lord Jesus Christ, betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver, and then took the silver back and gave it back to the Pharisees and said, I don't want it. I've betrayed innocent blood. Here, have it back. And they said, that's nothing to us. You take care of it. And they took the money that he threw down and took it to the potter's field to buy land to bury strangers in and criminals in and the unclean in. And Matthew makes it clear that this is the fulfillment of verses 12 and 13. Now, a lot of people out there who are enemies of the Lord Jesus, they would have you to believe that Jesus was really a clever man who just conspired to make all these, to fulfill these scriptures by being a clever man. Well, I would have you to understand and to know and to realize verses 12 and 13 were really out of his hands. He didn't control what Judas asked of the priests and agreed with them, this 30 pieces of silver. He had no control over Judas taking these back and throwing them down, and he certainly didn't have any control of what they did with the money that Judas threw down. He could not have, manipulated things to make them come out this way. This is a clear prophecy fulfilled when our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed. But here is what I want you to see right now. And all of you out there, if you have any doubt about who was betrayed, look at verses 12 and 13. And verse 12 starts off, I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price. And my price, 30 pieces of silver. And Yahweh said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price, that I was prized of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and so forth. Now, who is talking here? Go back once again to verse 4 of chapter 11. Thus saith Yahweh my God. And this whole passage from there on, clear on down to the end of chapter 11, it is very clear that this is spoken by Yahweh. That's what verse 4 says, doesn't it? And when you see Yahweh, when you see the Lord, is what the King James says, and you look at that, there's this word Lord and the little code that was given to us by the translators. When that word Lord is all capitals, the word in Hebrew is Yahweh. I don't know why they didn't translate Yahweh, but it's probably, for the same reason that the Jews won't pronounce the name. They don't wish to take his name in vain. Well, nevertheless, no matter what they think, that's what the word says. And if Yahweh is the one doing the talking, and he is, then who is it that was valued at 30 pieces of silver? It was Yahweh. It's very clear that our Lord Jesus Christ is indeed Yahweh. And we have it here. And I don't see how you can get around. Well, you can get around it by simply ignoring it or twisting the scriptures. The thing that the Jews need to see and all the Gentiles need to see is that this is the Old Testament. Why they would miss this one, I don't know. I suppose it's willful blindness. They are blinded at this time, Paul makes that clear in the 9th, 10th, and 11th chapters of Romans. And surely and certainly, they are simply failing to take their own scriptures, the Old Testament, and read them honestly and see what they say. This man betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave, and taken out and crucified who died crying out, "It is finished," who paid the price for our sins on that cross. This man indeed was the Creator God. Now, for all of you Jews out there, I once again, I don't mean to insult you, but I want you to look at this honestly and see and let the book say what it says. Now, let's go on and look at verse 14 of chapter 11 and see if we can get on down through this chapter today. "I cut asunder mine other staff, even bands." And we have back here, you know, beauty and bands introduced to us back in verse 7 of this chapter. "I cut asunder my other staff, even bands." And we have beauty dealt with, cut asunder back in verse 10, and here we have bands cut asunder, "that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel." And, of course, both Judah and Israel have fallen under judgment. Israel, way back there, when the Assyrians invaded the area of the ten northern tribes and carried them away into captivity, and since that time, they have been scattered. Now we have bands cut asunder and scattered, and that happened in 70 A.D. We know that there was a remnant carried away into Babylon around 575 B.C., but a remnant also came back and rebuilt the temple and the walls, and they stayed there in the land until 70 A.D., and the judgment fell. Why did the judgment fall on them? Well, simply because of the rejection of Messiah. He offered the kingdom to them. They would have none of it. And notice, "they weighed for my price," back in verse 12. And they are the ones. And it's very interesting because it was Judas, who, you know, went in and betrayed him. But really, it was the entire nation being represented by the priests. And, of course, we know that many of the people in Israel at the time did not do this, would have had nothing to do with it. And nevertheless, the judgment has fallen on the nation of Israel for what happened here. And they were scattered to the ends of the earth. And only in our time have they begun to come back slowly, not to the entire land, only to a part of the land, which is what they are occupying now, and they're hanging on by their fingernails. And it is amazing for me to see the hatred that is being focused on the nation of Israel right now in particular, and just Jews in general. This old business of anti-Semitism, it never seems to go away, does it? You think that it's done, that it's over with, and yet it is not. And many of the people out there who are the greatest enemies of Israel and who hate them will protest, "We're not anti-Semitic." Well, what are you? Now, this is rising again, and you will see it rise more and more because the devil hates this nation, and he is going to do what he can to destroy it. But he, of course, is wasting his time. It is not going to happen. Now, let's look at verse 15 of Zechariah 11. "The Lord said unto me, Take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd." Now, verse 15 and down to the end of this chapter, we are talking about the Antichrist. Here is the one who is going to rise, who is going to come to Israel, and they will accept him. The Lord Jesus makes this clear in the Gospel of John, doesn't he? "I came in my Father's name. You wouldn't accept me. If another come in his own name, him you will accept. And, of course, we have it in the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, where we have the evil or wicked or worthless shepherd who abandons the sheep. And that's not just a statement, a general statement. That's a statement, I am persuaded, about a specific person, this Antichrist, the foolish shepherd. I will raise up a shepherd in the land which shall not visit those that be cut off. Neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that that is broken, nor feed that that standeth still. But he shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces. And once again, I think this is a very clear and obvious look at the Antichrist. Once Israel was out of the land in 70 A.D., in a very real and important sense, God ceased to deal with Israel. And during this dispensation we are living through right now, this dispensation of grace, in which God is taking out a people out of all the Gentile nations for his own name, this is the church that is being completed now until the last of the Gentiles comes in. And only then, the next thing on God's calendar, after the rapturing of the church, God will be dealing with Israel again. And this Antichrist is raised up. Now, it's very interesting, you see, that Zechariah here doesn't deal with the church age at all. He goes right from the scattering in 70 A.D. in verse 14, right to the raising up of Antichrist in verse 15. Why? Well, I've said it before, and here it comes again. Because these Old Testament prophets didn't see the church. The church was not something that was revealed to them. The church wasn't revealed until the Apostle Paul came along, many years after this. So it is very understandable that Zechariah leaps right from the scattering and the breaking asunder right to the Antichrist. And we see here in verse 17, woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean, dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. This Antichrist, he will have his moment, he will have his day, and he will rule and reign for a while. But judgment surely and certainly will fall on him. And, you know, here is the one. Here is that evil and wicked man who is going to present himself in the rebuilt temple as Christ and as God. And he will bring woe and misery to the entire world, and particularly to the Jews. That's what is coming. Friend, will you be ready to be raptured? Why don't you get saved, and why don't you do it right now? This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.